I would like to welcome you to the service this evening, and I want to mention to you at the very start that in life there are many things that are needed for you and I to live. Now, some of those things you and I have known ever since we were young and being taught them at school. For example, you and I need oxygen and air to live. A human cannot live for more than a few minutes without oxygen. You and I have known for many years that we need water to live. A human body cannot go more than a few days without water. And of course, from a young age, you and I will have been taught that you and I need food to live. We know what it is to get hungry, perhaps after a few hours, but especially after a few days. But even from Christ himself and his example in the gospel records, we know that man can go only a few weeks without food. And indeed, some have said that you can go perhaps up to about 50 days without food, but after that, one will die. There are certain things in life that are absolutely necessary. They are needed. Now, there are some things that perhaps you and I may not be familiar with that you and I need to live. For example, carbon is needed for the forming of proteins and compounds. Nitrogen is needed for the forming of DNA. Phosphorus is needed for transporting chemical energy around cells. And sulfur is needed for nearly all biochemical processes. As you and I come into the book of Genesis, you and I will read about the life of Joseph. And to put it simply, Joseph was a man, he was a person who was needed. Now, the sad reality is that up until now, nearly everybody in Joseph's life has not realized this. His brothers didn't realize it. The Midianites didn't realize it. Potiphar didn't realize it. Potiphar's wife didn't realize it. Potiphar's household didn't realize it. The butler didn't realize it. The baker didn't realize it. The prison guard hasn't realized it. People have not realized that Joseph is needed. However, for those who know the story of Joseph and know what will happen, Joseph is needed by all of them. Because he's needed for the preservation of their life. He's needed to rescue them because there will be a horrible famine coming before not too long. And Joseph will be the one who will be the savior of the world from this famine. Joseph, up until now, he has been despised by some, hated by some, ignored by some, betrayed by some. But yet Joseph is the one who is needed. And how similar that is today to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is one who is needed so much more than Joseph, because he's needed not merely for physical life, to give us our very breath, but he's needed for eternal life. He is needed to save us not merely from a temporary famine, but he's needed to save us from an eternal famine, from hell where there is no food. He is needed to save us not merely from physical pain, but from eternal pain. Jesus Christ, he is needed today, and yet by so many. Jesus Christ is despised, he is hated, he is ignored, and he is betrayed. This evening I want you and I to notice this very simple truth, that Joseph is needed. Joseph is needed. Notice with me first of all that God prepares Pharaoh for this truth, that Joseph is needed. In the book of Genesis and the chapter 40, in verses 14 to 15, Joseph speaks to the butler after interpreting the butler's dream and says to the butler, whenever Joseph himself was yet in prison, he says, think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into dungeon. Oh, how Joseph pleaded for the butler. Think on me. Make mention of me unto Pharaoh. But yet, in Genesis chapter 4, in the verse 20, we read that the butler, while he had been raised to stand before Pharaoh in verse 20, yet in verse 23, we read the butler did forget Joseph. He did not remember Joseph. And Joseph is not mentioned before Pharaoh. In chapter 41, in the verse 1, we read that 2 years pass, And yet Joseph is still not mentioned before Pharaoh. And you and I could begin to wonder this evening, why did God allow Joseph to remain in prison all that time? Why did God not bring Joseph out earlier, to bring Joseph before Pharaoh earlier? The very simple answer is, God was preparing Pharaoh for this truth, that Joseph is needed. You see, if God had revealed Joseph to Pharaoh before the circumstances of chapter 41, it is very possible that Pharaoh would have freed Joseph and let him go home. And then whenever the famine came, whenever Joseph would be needed, he would not be in sight. He would be far away, out of reach. And indeed, perhaps, Joseph would have been killed by the brothers. Not there at all. Or indeed, if Joseph had been mentioned by the butler before the circumstances of chapter 41, Pharaoh could have heard of a man called Joseph, one who was a Hebrew. And Pharaoh could have said, well, I don't care about him. He's in the prison. He's a despised Hebrew. Just leave him there. And he'd forgotten all about Joseph. No, God's timing was going to be perfect. Joseph would be kept in prison for 2 years. And in that time, God would be preparing Pharaoh for this truth, that Joseph is needed. He is essential. Pharaoh himself cannot live without Joseph. God was preparing Pharaoh. And let me just make a very brief application at this point, and just remind you and me this evening that sometimes why you and I do not understand the timing of the Lord, why he does what he does, and he does it when he does it. Yet as the psalmist made clear, as for God, his way is perfect. Sometimes difficulties can happen in life, but I want to tell you, as for God, his way is perfect. Doesn't mean that things are not difficult and things are easy. No, it does mean that we can have comfort. As for God, his way is perfect. And we are told in the book of Isaiah 55, as the heavens are higher than the earth, and God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. So God, he would wait these 2 years to prepare Pharaoh, that he would see this truth, that he has a need for Joseph. But notice with me that God would prepare Pharaoh in 2 ways. First of all, God would prepare Pharaoh with troubling. In chapter 41 of Genesis, in the first 4 verses, we read that God will get Pharaoh's attention by startling him with a dream. A dream that is so strange that it will wake him out of his sleep. However, although startled from this dream, you and I will read in verse 5 that Pharaoh, he goes back to sleep. And he slept. Now, in verses 5 to 7, God will scare Pharaoh in a second dream. A dream that only wakes him up out of his sleep. But at the end of verse 7, Pharaoh will exclaim, behold, it was a dream. I'm sure you and I can imagine perhaps back to times whenever you and I have had a terrible dream, one that has scared us, one that has startled us. We woke up and we said, behold, wow, I'm glad that was just a dream. Pharaoh has been startled, but he went back to sleep. Pharaoh has been scared in the middle of the night, and he wakes up and he's so thankful it's just a dream. But yet the impression that's given here in verse 8 is that whether he went back to sleep again that night, or he's just simply forgot about it, we do not know. But in verse 8 of chapter 41, we read that God will now do something. He will trouble Pharaoh. And he'll trouble Pharaoh in the morning so much that the dreams that he has heard, that they will not leave him. He will not go back to sleep. No, he must do some action. He must do something about these dreams. You see, God prepares Pharaoh by troubling Pharaoh. And the lesson for you and I this evening is that God, while he does not have to trouble sinners, yet so often he does trouble sinners. You know, just think about the situation here. God, knowing that the famine was coming, God could have just simply told Joseph about it in a dream there in the prison. And Joseph could have went to the prison guard and said, look, there's a famine coming. And the prison guard could have went to the Pharaoh and said to Pharaoh, look, there's a famine coming. And Pharaoh could have listened. Pharaoh didn't have to be troubled and startled from man's perception. But yet God knew that Pharaoh had to be troubled. God knew that Pharaoh had to be startled. He had to be scared. His heart had to be touched that he would not let this go. Why? Because like Pharaoh today, there are so many people who do not listen. I wonder there's someone who's listening this evening and God has spoken to you. He startled you. You have been made very clear by God that you are a sinner and that he is holy. And the question is, what will God who is holy do with you who are a sinner? And that startled you. But didn't go any further than that. You went out of church. You left reading God's word. You left that conversation with a friend. You didn't do any more about it. And then God has come to you again a second time. And this time God has scared you. Because not merely do you realize that you're a sinner and God is holy, but God has showed you that hell is real. And that has scared you. And that has frightened you and terrified you. But yet, just like Pharaoh, you put it out of your mind. You forget about it. And then God comes a third time. And God troubles you. He puts a burden and a weight upon you so heavy that you cannot get rid of it. And it's there continually. And you say, I must do something about it. Maybe that burden has come through the grief of your sin. Maybe it's come through the death of a loved one. Maybe it's come through accident. Maybe it's come through a reminder that the brevity of life, whatever it may be. But God so often will trouble sinners. Why? Because he loves them. He wants you to see your need of Christ. And that Christ is the only answer. There's an application here to those that are not saved, to those who are ungodly. But there is an application here for those who are saved. And it's simply this, it is one thing for a man to hear a message of God. Pharaoh heard a message of God not just once, not just twice. But God took those messages and troubled them. He says it's not just enough for someone to hear the message of God. They must hear the message from God himself. God's message must go forth with his power, by his spirit, out of his mouth, before sinners will begin to be troubled. And child of God, there for this evening, I do encourage you to not only continue to declare the word of God, but to pray that God will take his word and write it upon the hearts of sinners. Why is it you and I can speak to you, love them, and they do not do anything about their sin? They do not flee to Christ. Why is it that the gospel is preached week after week, month after month, year after year, and people in this area and town, and even within this own congregation, are not coming to Christ? It's because you and I need not merely the truth of God's word, but we need the power of God. We need God himself to take his word and to write it upon their hearts and to trouble them so much that they will not just leave it. They will not go back to sleep again, but it will be a burden upon their hearts. And let me ask you, as I ask myself, are we those who will continue to proclaim God's word and people's need of Christ, but will we also pray? Pray that God will write it upon their hearts, because except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And yet while there is that challenge there, there is a comfort here for the saved. Because here, as God speaks to Pharaoh, you and I see that God is persistent with Pharaoh. He doesn't want to let Pharaoh go. No, he wants Pharaoh to see his need of Christ. And how Christ himself did this with Saul of Tarsus. Many years later, Christ would convict Saul so that he'd be able to say, Saul, Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Christ would persevere and persist with Saul because he wanted Saul. And the comfort is also not merely in the persistence of God, but in the power of God. He's able to lay God's word upon the hearts of men. You know, you and I can often forget dreams. You know, we have a dream in the middle of the night, it seems so significant, but we wake up in the morning and forget all about it. And yet here God has given Pharaoh dreams, and yet God is able to bring those dreams back to his mind. Even though he's went back to sleep again, he's able to bring those dreams back to his mind with great accuracy and with great power to trouble him with it. So God even... Perhaps you have a loved one. Maybe you have someone you know and they've heard God's word, but it's been so long since they've heard it. God's able to bring it back to their mind. Pray. God will take his word and write it upon their heart. God prepares Pharaoh through troubling. God prepares Pharaoh through teaching. In verse 8 of chapter 41, we read, and it came to pass in the morning that his spirit, that is the spirit of Pharaoh, was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh being so troubled that knowing that he must do something about this situation, we read that Pharaoh calls for people to help him. He will call for the magicians.
those who dabble in the supernatural, those who will dabble with scientific things and dabble with religious things. He'll also take the wise men, those who are all about philosophy and argument for this and logic with this and all the rest of it. And yet, as Pharaoh will go to those who have much training and much knowledge and much academia, and go to those perhaps your old men with many years' experience in religious and secular fields. Yet, we read there was none. Not one that could help Pharaoh. Not one could interpret the word of God that had been given to Pharaoh. Why? Why did Pharaoh remain helpless? It was simply the truth of 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually undiscerned. Many today, whenever they feel the burden of their sin and they are convicted of their sin and they know that there is a need, they will try and do something about it. And they can run to many different types of people. They can run to scientists and perhaps use science to try and explain why is it that my mind's so troubled. They can run to medicine to try and look for some relief, some tablets that will get rid of their worry and their anxiety. They can run to pleasure to try and overwhelm the trouble that is within their heart and try and distract them from the trouble that there is and the burden in their heart. They can run to religions, which will teach them about doing this and doing that and trying to do good works and trying to pacify the Lord. But yet the reality is, none of these things will help. Old people can run to those who have much knowledge of academia and of science and of religions and of philosophy. People can run to those who have many years of experience in a number of matters. But yet today, what is needed is running to the Word of God, crying out for the Spirit of God to enlighten His Word to you, because it's only the blood of Joseph is able to meet our need. Let me ask you, if you're unconverted, and if you are lost this evening, will you be one who seeks the Lord? Not running to all these other things, but will you run to the Lord? Will you cry, "Oh Lord, I need you to show me by your Spirit the Word of God. I need you by your Spirit to show me Christ. I need you by the Spirit of God. And by the work of Christ to apply salvation to my heart." In Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6, the unconverted are commanded, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Jeremiah 29 verse 13, the Lord declares this wonderful promise then, "If ye shall seek me, ye shall find me when ye search for me with all your heart." Many of you will know about the story of Pilgrim's Progress, of a man called Christian, and there he is in the City of Destruction. But yet God, as he reads the Word of God, God places upon his back a huge burden, and that burden does not go away until he comes to Christ on the cross. Oh, there's no other answer but Christ. And there's an application here, not merely only for the unconverted, to go to God and to seek for him, to apply Christ to your life and to open up your eyes to understand the Word of God and the will of God and the salvation of God. But there is an application here for those who are saved, and that is that you and I ought to thank Christ. To thank Christ. Because the only reason that you and I are saved is because God himself, by his grace, has taken his word and opened up our eyes to see the truth of Christ in it. And he's applied it to our hearts in salvation. We couldn't have done it ourselves. Pharaoh couldn't interpret the dream himself. He couldn't understand the word of God himself. These other people couldn't do it. Oh, but God did it. God did it. Notice with me, God prepares Pharaoh for this truth that Joseph is needed. Notice with me, secondly, God reveals to Pharaoh this truth that Joseph is needed. Note with me that God reveals to Pharaoh this truth that Joseph is needed indirectly. In verse 9 of chapter 41 we read, "Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day.
After Pharaoh had had the two dreams, after being startled and scared and then troubled so much that the trouble wouldn't leave him, we read then, immediately then, God sends a servant. He sends an instrument. He sends one who has greatly benefited through the help of Joseph to Pharaoh. To tell Pharaoh of Joseph. Now, how does God reveal truths? He uses instruments. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, we read, "How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher?" You know, there are those who are unconverted and ungodly in this world, but how shall they believe in Christ and come to know Christ unless we go, we who have benefited from Christ, we who know Christ, we go and tell them of Christ? There is a challenge to us. Are you and I children of God? Are you and I being instruments? Are we declaring the word of God? By our words and by our life, that God has changed us and purified us and given us a joy and a hope and an assurance and a confidence and someone to go to in times of need, someone we can rest upon. Are we declaring the gospel? Or are we not? The ungodly need to hear of Christ. They need to see Christ. And if there's someone who is unconverted this evening that's listening to this message, you need to be reminded that your need is to listen to the preaching of God's word. I remember visiting someone a number of years ago, and they told me a joke about Paddy Irishman. And of course, in the realm of Paddy Irishman, things just don't quite go to plan. And so Paddy Irishman, one day, he was sitting at home, and it began to rain. And the rain just decided not to stop. And so the rain continued to come down and the floods began to rise. And so Paddy Irishman, he went upstairs, but the flood began to rise higher. So he got up higher and he climbed up on the roof and he cried out to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, help me, help me." And immediately after he cried, a rowing boat came by and said, "Here, I'll help you." He said, no, I'm waiting for God to help me." And then after that, a lifeguard boat came by, a larger boat, and cried out to Paddy Irishman, "Come on, I'll help you." And he says, no, God's coming to help me." And then a helicopter came by and said, "I'll help you." And Paddy Irishman said, no, God's going to help me." And now he didn't realize that God was using instruments to tell him the truth. And you may not realize, but coming to God's house, coming to where the preaching of God is, reading his precious word, talking with those sea of friends of yours, listening to what they have to say, that is God speaking to you. Don't ignore God's word, because God uses instruments. God reveals to Pharaoh this truth that Joseph is needed indirectly through an instrument, but also simply. In verses 9 and 10, Butler speaks to Pharaoh, and Butler simply gives him, that is Pharaoh, a testimony. A testimony. The butler will explain that he was in need because Pharaoh had been wroth with him. But also then that Joseph was one who was able to meet his need. The butler simply gave Pharaoh the testimony. He was in need. And that need was met. And there's a lesson there for you and for me this evening. The only reason Pharaoh knows to call upon Joseph for help is because of the testimony of the butler. It's the only reason. It's the only reason Pharaoh knows to call of Joseph. And therefore, for us who are saved, never despise the value of a testimony. Every single one listening this evening who saved, you have a testimony. You can be of great value and usefulness to God and service because you can tell others your testimony. Just very simply, you had a need. You had your sin, but that need was met. Christ paid the debt for your sin. Christ has saved your soul. You had a need, but that need was met. You know, the Apostle Paul was one who told his testimony again and again because he knew it was valuable. Willie Mullen, I remember being given tapes of him as he would have preached many years ago. And yet, again and again, as I listened to those tapes, Pastor Willie Mullen would have given his testimony because testimonies are valuable. They're useful. You and I are to be living epistles by our lives and by our words that others will see the reality of Christ, our testimony. And for anyone who is unconverted and lost this evening, if you are still in your sin, I want to tell you my own testimony. I was one who was young, brought up in the teaching of God's word, and I realized from an early stage that I was a sinner. Yes, other men had sinned, but I had sinned. And I realized that very night when I was in church listening to the preaching of God's word, that Christ came not merely to pay the debt for men, but he came to pay the debt for me. And that night, while I was troubled with the weight of my sin, I simply cried to the Lord, Lord, save me. And I can tell you, God saved me that very night on the promises of his own word, that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart that God had raised him from the dead and completed the work, I would be saved. And that night I was saved. And there's been times I've needed Christ ever since. And Christ has always been there. No, you don't need to go to hell tonight. Christ is needed, and Christ can meet your need. Notice with me, God reveals to Pharaoh this truth that Joseph is needed, not merely indirectly and simply, but amazingly. Remember about the butler. The butler had for 2 years forgotten about Joseph. Joseph had said to the butler, speak of me to Pharaoh. But for 2 years, the butler had failed Joseph. Every day, the butler had failed Joseph. And yet, who is it that God decides to use? God decides to use the butler. Is that not amazing? Is that not grace? Perhaps there's someone listening and you are aware that you feel the Lord. Feel the Lord again and again and again. Like the apostles, you have forsaken Christ. Like Peter, you have disowned Christ. Like John Mark, you've run away from opportunities to serve Christ. I want to tell you, there's hope for you tonight. God used the butler. And God can use you. And God wants to use you. God reveals this truth to Pharaoh that Joseph is needed. Not merely amazingly, but in time. In time. You see, in verses 8 to 9, we read that whenever the butler would speak to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh all that had happened, we read in verse 9, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. It was the very day that the butler remembered Joseph. It was that very day that the Lord convicted him of his failure that he went and he spoke to Pharaoh. You know, it was right there, because God had a message for Pharaoh. And child of God, if the Lord gives you an opportunity this week or in the days to come to speak of him, even though you've failed in the past, you take that opportunity and tell the person that very day. Tell them right there and then. And if there's someone who is unconverted this evening, as you hear God's message, you listen to it now. You listen to it now. Because while God is speaking to you, there is hope. God will not give you a message. God will not show your sin without there being hope. The gospel means good news, not bad news. There's hope tonight. It's only whenever God stops to speak that you should worry. You think about Herod in the New Testament, there in the Gospels, Christ stood before Herod. But Herod had spurned his time of opportunity and Christ didn't speak a word. You think about the time of Noah in the Old Testament. Noah, for years, he preached to the people their need to be saved from the flood that was coming, that they were perishing. But whenever the door was shut, Noah never spoke. It's whenever God stops speaking that you need to worry. And therefore tonight, while God's speaking, you be encouraged, because the message is coming in time. There's hope for you tonight. Notice with me also then, God reveals to Pharaoh this truth that Joseph is needed unexpectedly. If you look with me please at verse 9 of chapter 41, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward, and the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night. I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Whenever the butler speaks of Joseph, it is an unexpected message. You think about Joseph's reputation, he was in prison. The butler was saying to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, you know, the man you need, it's not those magicians, it's not those sorcerers, it's not all those wise men. No, the man you need is actually in prison. In prison. Not exactly the type of where the place you'd go for help. Sure it's not, the prison. Not only Joseph's reputation, think about Joseph's inexperience. The butler says that he was a young man. You know, these magicians and these wise men, they likely would have been elderly people. People with lots of experience, lots of time of knowledge and learning and wisdom. But no. Joseph, he was one who was inexperienced. He was only a young man. Notice also Joseph's origins. The butler will make it clear in verse 12 that he was not only a young man, but he was an Hebrew. One who was despised by the Egyptians. In fact, in Genesis 44, verse 32, we read, the Egyptians would not eat bread with the Pharaohs, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. It could have been that the Egyptians who would have worshipped certain animals, such as the ox, etc., yet the Hebrews, as being shepherds, they would have eaten those animals. And that was despicable in the sight of the Egyptians. But notice also Joseph's position. He is revealed in verse 12 as a servant. He was a servant to the captain of the guard. He was someone who was so much lower in society than Pharaoh, because the captain of the guard was a servant to Pharaoh, and then Joseph was a servant of the servant. He was low, the low of the low. And the lesson for you and I this evening is very simply this. When God sent his son, he did not send one who was born in a palace, but in a stable. He did not send one who was born with great wealth and position, but he was simply the son of a carpenter. He was not one who was loved by all. He was slandered by many. He was not one who was filled with experience. No, from the age of 12 he taught, and he died at age 33, still quite young in life. The Lord did not send one who was greatly honored. No, he was despised by the Jews because he came from Nazareth. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. He was despised by the Gentiles because he was a Jew, and Jews were a troublesome people to the Gentiles. The Lord did send someone, however, who loved him and who was faithful to him. And people today might ask, why should I listen to someone who is despised and poor and lowly, with who's young and with an experience, who's got no great wealth and no great position? Why should I listen to Christ? And the answer is because God wants you to trust his way and not your way. God wants you to trust his promises and not your own perceptions. God wants you to trust his Savior and not your own making of a Savior. God wants you to understand that the salvation that God has to give in the Savior is not a salvation that's about wealth. It's not a salvation about position. It's not a salvation about being loved by all. It's not a salvation about being old and knowledgeable. It's not about a salvation of being honored by people. No, it's a salvation, just like the Savior, one who loves God and is loved by him. This is what Christ was. This is what Christ is. Let me apply this to any who are unconverted this evening. There are many in this world, and they will look for a different kind of Savior. You think about Naaman in the Old Testament. Oh, it was not good enough for him to go into the waters of Jordan. No, far better waters were better. And I wonder if you're one who says, you know, this lowly Christ, this despised Christ, the son of a carpenter, from the human perspective, he's too lowly. He was despised by many, hated by many, he was crucified. It's too lowly. I don't want a Savior like that. To many in this world today, the salvation that Christ offers, that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for something else. But I want to tell you, this Savior and this salvation is exactly what you need. Because he's God's Savior. And it's God's salvation. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we read that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the only one. And while Isaiah 53 makes it clear that to many in this world that Christ hath no form nor comeliness, and when people will see him through the preaching of his word, or indeed in life, that people will despise him and reject him, there's none that will desire him. But I want to tell you, if you're unconverted, that Christ is your only answer, he's your only hope, because he is the one that you need. He's God's only Savior. I wonder, will you flee to him this evening? There's no other hope anywhere else. What a wonderful salvation he does give. Forgiveness of sins. Freedom from sin. To live on to him. Eternal glory. And come to Christ before it's too late. There's an application to those who are saved this evening.
And that is that the butler didn't try to alter the message. He didn't try to make Joseph be something that he wasn't. No, he just simply revealed Joseph as he was. And there's people today and they try and give a different message. They try and change the Christ. They try and make him attractive to men. I want to tell you, the need that men have is to hear of Christ as he is. Whenever Andrew would speak to Peter, whenever Philip and Nathaniel would talk, the answer was very simply to say, come and see Christ. Come and see him as he is. Come and see him in his word. You know, that's the power of God unto salvation. Notice with me thirdly, God works in Pharaoh this truth that God is needed. Where the natural man sees no beauty in Christ, yet God worked in Pharaoh's heart in chapter 41. That is seen by the fact in verse 14 that Pharaoh sends for Joseph. Notice with me that Pharaoh sent for Joseph immediately. In verse 14, you and I read, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. The fact that Joseph was brought hastily out of the dungeon is the idea that Pharaoh gave this command. Go get Joseph. There was not a moment wasted. As soon as he hears of Joseph, as soon as he hears of one who can meet his need, go get him. Pharaoh sends for Joseph immediately. And that's a wise thing. Pharaoh treats Joseph honorably. Joseph is shaved. He's given new clothes before he comes. Before Pharaoh speaks to Joseph honestly. In verse 15, the beginning of it, we read, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. He doesn't try and, you know, try and push himself up and say, you know, I've got these magicians here, and I've got all these wise men, and they've given me some pretty good ideas and pretty good hope. You know, I just wanted to hear what your idea is. No, Pharaoh was honest. No one else can help me, Joseph. No one else! I need you, Joseph! And Pharaoh speaks to Joseph believingly. Why is it that Pharaoh sent for Joseph unless Pharaoh believed that Joseph could help him? Well, he sent for Joseph believingly. And if there's someone who's unconverted this evening, let me ask you, as you see your need, as you see that you must seek the Lord while he may be found, I wonder how will you seek him? Will you seek him immediately? Because we're told, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Seek him immediately. Behold, now is the accepted time, Paul said. Now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Because no one knows what a day will bring forth. Seek him immediately. Seek him honorably. It's very interesting that Joseph spoke to Pharaoh the truth as Pharaoh had honored Joseph, lifted him up out of prison, and given him honor and respect with new clothes and a sheath. Oh, according to the Egyptian culture, that was an honor. And here, Pharaoh's honored Joseph, and then he revealed the truth. What about the road to Emmaus in the New Testament? All was only whenever their hearts were opened. They heard the word. You see, they honored Christ on that road. They listened to him. They listened to the word of God as he explained it. You see, if you want to seek the Lord and you want him to come and to work in your heart and life, and you not merely come immediately, but you come honorably, you honor the Lord. You honor Christ and you honor the word of God. Give it its rightful place. Come honestly as well. Be honest. Admit there's no one else can help you. Admit no other man, no other organization, no church, no parent, nothing, no minister, no priest, no one can help you but Christ. Like the public in Luke 18 cry, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Admit your sin. Admit your failure. Admit you're deserving of God's wrath. And come not only honestly, but come believingly. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, we read, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Come believingly. Believe that the Lord is willing to save, and he's able to save. He shed his blood. He's paid the debt. And he's promised, whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved. All that come unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. And the last thing I want you and I to see this evening, and that is that God highlights to Pharaoh this truth. That Joseph is needed. God highlights it graciously. In verse 16, you and I read, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, is not in me, but God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Note with me the revelation here. It is to Pharaoh. God shall give Pharaoh. Pharaoh was an immoral man. He was a heathen. He was one who worshipped false gods. He was an idolater. Pharaoh, the people whom he ruled, were evil and sinful and wicked. His laws were wicked. Just simply look up
look up the Encyclopedia Britannica, look up history books, look up the internet, and you will see just how sinful and wicked Egypt was at this time. And yet, while Pharaoh did not deserve God to speak to him and give him a word of peace, yet God did.
God highlights the truth of Joseph, but he does it graciously. And how much more to us, your sinners, you and I, with our sinfulness, we deserve death. The wage of sin is death, but yet God comes in grace. He's not obligated to tell us the gospel. And yet God, if he speaks to you this evening, God in grace, he's speaking to you. No, don't despise it. Don't tire of hearing the gospel. If you're younger and your mum and your dad, they bring you to hear the gospel, don't despise it. It's grace that you hear it. Because we don't deserve it. Not merely do we see that God's grace and how he highlights the truth of Joseph graciously and the fact that God reveals it to Pharaoh, but God gives it at the opportune time. Because God told Pharaoh this message before the famine and before the time of plenty so that Pharaoh could prepare and that he could make sure that he and all those within his country are safe. God doesn't tell the message too late. We mentioned this a little bit earlier. Whenever God gives you this message this evening, it's because there's still hope in the message. It's in time. You can still prepare this evening. And the Lord tells you, prepare to meet him. Prepare to meet thy God. You see, in Ezekiel chapter 18, the Lord declares, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their way and live. He says, turn yourselves and live. I wonder, will you turn tonight? While there's still time. God highlights it not only graciously, but he highlights it seriously. In verse 30, Joseph warned that the famine shall consume the land. In verse 31, he says that the famine shall be very grievous. You and I cannot picture a famine of this sort. A famine for 7 whole years, when everything will be ruined, when crops will die, when land will be barren. You and I can't imagine that. You see, this is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of top priority. And Joseph makes that clear to Pharaoh. It is a serious message. And how much more the gospel message. The gospel warnings that if you don't turn while there's time, if you don't repent and believe the gospel, you'll perish for all eternity. Heed the message. See it serious. See that it takes top priority. Seek first the kingdom of God.
God himself says, what shall it profit a man if you gain the whole world but you lose your own soul? It's more important than anything else in life. God highlights the message of Joseph and how much Pharaoh needs him, not merely graciously and seriously, but fearfully. Because in verse 30, Joseph warns that such will be the effect of the famine, that all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. Again in verse 31, he will say, the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following. And there's a very serious and solemn application here. You see, God will bless with 7 years of plenty, 7 years of blessing and of joy and wonderfulness. But yet, in the 7 years of famine, they'd forget all about it. And you see, this evening, God promises you, and he gives you joy and times of blessing here in this earth. But yet, the punishment to come, hell to come, it'll be so serious and so grievous, you'll forget all about the times of joy, all about your family, all about your friends, all about your hobbies. It'll be so solemn, so fearful. I'll get right with God now. So you'll never taste that fear. You'll never taste that terror. And for us who are saved, the opposite's true. Heaven will be so glorious that even all the blessings we got here, there'll be nothing to be compared to the reward that we have in glory of seeing Christ. Now God highlights it graciously, seriously, fearfully, but also certainly. In verse 32 we read that Joseph says the dream was doubled under Pharaoh. That's why Pharaoh got 2 dreams. Why? Because the thing is established by God. It is certain. What God says here is certain. And you know, someone who is listening this evening, what God says is certain. Whenever he says that the wicked, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, that's certain. But however, whenever he promises, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, that is certain. Let me ask you, this reality that God's word is certain, does it bring distress to your soul or does it bring comfort to your soul? It will bring distress if you're still in your sin, but it will bring comfort if you come to Christ because you're saved. God highlights it urgently because in verse 32, Joseph says, God will shortly bring it to pass. Shortly emphasize urgency. You need to settle this now. People will point to the thief on the cross and they will say, oh, the thief on the cross. You know, he was still able to get right with God at the very last moment of his life.
There's only one man we read of that in all of Scripture. 66 books, only one man who gets right with God at the last moment of life.
To give us hope that there is time. But not that you and I will think there's always that hope. We'll get right with God now. The message was that God will bring these things shortly to pass. But notice with me as I conclude. God highlights the truth that Joseph is needed and that Joseph is there for Pharaoh. God highlights it comfortingly. Because in verse 16 we read, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. See, God again would give Pharaoh the message in time that he could prepare. That he wouldn't have to die and his people wouldn't have to die. They wouldn't have to perish, but they could be safe. But what was the one thing that Pharaoh was asked to do? Well, verse 33 to 34, the answer is given. Joseph said, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man.
Look out a man! That was what Pharaoh was doing. Look out a man! What was the man to be like? Discreet and wise. Somebody could set over officers and set over all the land of Egypt. Someone simply who could be trusted.
I want to tell you, mate, Christ is the man you'll look for. He's the one who can be trusted. He's the one who is that prophet who never told a lie.
He is the one who is the priest who gave his life as a ransom for us, the God-man.
He shed his blood for us, but he is the king. And I can trust not merely his words. And I can trust not merely the sacrifice that was sufficient. He said it's finished. And I can trust his reign. You and I can trust him living in our hearts and lives. You and I can trust his guidance. He don't ever lead us in the paths of righteousness. You and I can trust Christ. But let me ask you as I finish, will you? What a wonderful Savior we have, but will you trust Christ? Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. For us who are saved, will we praise the Lord that we were saved in time. And glory awaits. That's the final prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that thou wouldst please to take thy word, write it upon my heart, I pray, that I will ever praise thee, and I will ever love thee. And Lord, for any who are unconverted listening to this message, Lord, draw them to Christ before it is too late. We ask all these things for thy glory in Jesus' name. Amen.